Seated. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1. Great book in the Bible, the book of Philippians. A lot of wonderful truths, a lot of things to praise the Lord for found here. Paul is writing, and we will begin in verse 21, chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. I'll wait till you get there. Okay, when the leaves stop rustling, we'll begin to read. Paul says this, "For to me to live is Christ." That's a wonderful statement. And then he says, "And to die is gain." That's an interesting statement. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ." This is the word of God. This is the Spirit inspired these words. So this was real what he was saying. He had a desire to depart to be with Christ. It goes on and says, "Which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Three statements there. To die is gain, a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. That's a strong, strong message today. And we'll ask God to just share it with us. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, may you put that desire in all of our hearts that we would want you so, so strongly, want to be with you, that we would live our lives so that others could live with you for eternity. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would guide us now as we speak your word and as we hear it. And may you open every heart and every mind to these wonderful truths. For the glory of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have used a statement many, many times over the years when I was talking to people about their soul or where they were going to spend eternity. And my question would be to them, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Would you spend eternity with the Lord? Would you go to heaven? And a lot of people would answer that with, "I hope so. I sure hope so." But the Bible says that we can know so. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." So as we go to the scriptures, God wants us to know that. He doesn't want us just to hope in it or maybe or who knows. He wants us to absolutely be sure. In Psalm 116 and verse 9, the Bible says, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." We're walking in the land of the living right now. Some people call this the land of the dying, but the Bible calls it the land of the living. Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So the heart is a source, and there's things that come out of the heart depending on our relationship to God and obviously what we believe in our hearts. Issues of life. Psalm 68:20, "He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues of death." So the Bible talks about the issues of life, and it talks about the issues of death. Issues of life. "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So he thinks rightly, and so whatever is in his heart comes out. We have in the scripture, "Out of the abundance of the heart," that's the source, "the mouth speaketh." So that goes to what we're convinced on and what we believe in. In Job 38:8, "issued out of the womb." Revelation 9:18, "issued out of their mouths." Joshua 8:22, "issued out of the city." So in this context, an issue is the act of passing or flowing out. This is not people have issues. Amen. This is the issues of life or the issues of death. And then we have in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, "For out of the heart proceed," this is what the issue is, "evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." That's why God says, keep your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. But the issues of life may not be good in somebody's life. And so we need to guard our hearts. John 10:10, this is what God came to do. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Unto God belongs the issues of death. There's the issues of life. This is how we live. This is what we think. And so it produces something. The issues of death. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. We just read that scripture. The pulpit commentary says, it is through God only that when death threatens, men escape it. Through God. Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary, the Lord Jesus has authority and power to rescue his people from the dominion of death by taking away the sting of it from them when they die and giving them complete victory over it when they rise again. The crown of the head, the chief pride and glory of the enemy shall be smitten. Christ shall crush the head of the serpent. And we will read some verses a little later that show that. There are people that are in bondage their whole life for the fear of death. They're afraid to die. But when you find out that Christ conquered death, he rose from the grave, and because he lives, we can live also. Then that perspective, that's what's in our hearts, that's what's in our thoughts, and that comes out in our life, in trusting God and rejoicing in the gift he's given us. Gill writes, he's another commentary, Christ has abolished death and him that had the power of death. He has delivered himself from death, and he will deliver all his people from death. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So for me to live is Christ. Amen? He's living in me. And because he lives, I shall live also in the next life. It's eternal life. It's everlasting life. And that's what God promises to us. And to know that is so important. That's why there's so many verses on it. Amen? We need to know that because that's where the peace comes. And obviously for our loved ones too, we know where they are. I am living now. You may not believe that, but I am alive. I am alive now. You say, well, your preaching doesn't show that. But I am alive right now. I will live forever with the Lord, because I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I believe that. That's what's going to take place. 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to turn over there with me, you can. 1 Corinthians 15, I will read a few verses there. This is beginning in verse 51. If you read the text with us, it's just a little bit to the left. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's an amazing statement. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Christ has given us the victory over death because he conquered death and he rose again from the grave. Fanny Crosby wrote, I think, about 8,000 hymns. That's a lot of writing, man. And a lot of very famous songs. One is Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This filled her heart, and this is what she wrote about. There's a song that we sing when we all get to heaven. It's kind of a peppy song. It's a good song. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. There's another song. It's an old song. It's called The Rock of Ages. And I was going to say we ought to sing it, but I won't. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. All of these songs. Your hymnal is filled with songs about heaven or songs about thinking about heaven and what God's going to do for us. Oh, that will be glory for me. There's another one. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Just two more. Because he lives, all fear is gone, right? Christ the Lord is risen today. Where, O death, is now thy sting. And so you have all these songs. You ought to go through the hymnal and learn some of these songs, but you probably know them already, but sing them, amen? Because that'll put the thought in your mind that one day you're going to be with the Lord. Paul said, I have a desire to depart. A desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. The things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But the next verse says, but the Spirit reveals them unto us. And so we have the Spirit of God guiding us through the Word of God, and that speaks to us. Amen? And so these are prepared things. Somebody said heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. We have in John 14 and verse 2, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There's another promise. It's on almost every page. It's through the every book of the Bible that God is doing something for us. There's a quote, an older preacher said this. He said, I preach as a dying man to dying men. We are all going to die one day, every one of us. And so it's so important to know where you're going to spend eternity. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, death is not all there is. Appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so we have, so many verses about this, but absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Hebrews 2:15. And deliver them who through fear of death all their lifetime subject to bondage. I don't know if you've ever been afraid to die. My wife and I have done a lot of ministry work in the hospitals and with just so many organizations. And there are people that are very fearful when it comes to the time of their death because they don't know where they're going to spend eternity. And it's amazing the change that can take place in a person when they know for sure where they're going to spend eternity. And that is so, so vital and so important. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It goes on and on and on. But there should not be any fear. Having a desire to depart. Paul really suffered in his work for the Lord. And you could understand, he wasn't leaving a mansion. He wasn't leaving, you know, maybe good health or all the things that would keep somebody just focused on this life. He had suffered tremendously. And he said this in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There is a future. That's the Apostle Paul. Abraham said in Hebrews 11, he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. That's what he was looking for, Abraham. Moses, Hebrews chapter 11, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And the next verse it says, as seeing him who is invisible. He had that vision. He had that knowledge. He had that hope. He had that assurance. We have David, Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Last verse, verse 6. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful truth to know. Stephen, he's being stoned for his faith in Christ. Acts chapter 7. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I'm sure at that point he said, it's okay, Lord. Amen? He's going to be with the Lord in a matter of seconds. We have Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, we are going to be taken to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So you can go through all these books in the Bible and they're just, the words are just jumping off the page. The Spirit of God is speaking to us all the time. When we leave this life, we're going to be with the Lord for all eternity. can't comprehend it. Amen? I looked up into the stars the other night, and my wife and I were on a date. We were cleaning the garage, and I looked up in the stars, and I the heavens declare the glory of God. But I mean, how can you comprehend how big the universe is? Amen? I mean, they're talking about light years and light years, and I don't want to show my ignorance about all of that, but I mean, it's a long ways off the end of the universe, the wall. Because if you go so long, you're going to run right into a wall, and people that have done that just fall down, and there's a big pile of people down there. You know? It's amazing. You have to really study to get that. Either that or read a tabloid at the grocery store. But I mean, there's no end of the universe, right? How can anybody comprehend that? There's no beginning or end to God, right? He is the Alpha and He's the Omega. He's the beginning, He's the end. That we can't comprehend that. So to try to understand everything about heaven, good luck. Just believe that it's true. Because all of this that the Lord is telling us, and we'll get to the best part in a little bit, no pain, no sorrow, no heartache, no tears, no end. Amen? That is what is in store for the believer. Amen. They had a desire, many, many more. I had just recently had the funeral for my friend in Sturgis in his 80s, and he went home to be with the Lord. He had pancreatic cancer. And the last thing he said to me, I held his hand, and in his bed he looked at me and he says, "Pastor, I just want to go home. I just want to go home." And sometimes this world gets pretty rough, gets pretty tough, and we just have a longing. I have a desire to depart and to be with the Lord. Imagine with me getting ready for a vacation. Amen? That'd be great, right? Don't go visit all your relatives on vacation. That's not a vacation. Amen? Go somewhere and watch the water, or go through the mountains, or, you know, go and park your camper next to a good restaurant and just stay there for 2 weeks. But have fun on your vacation. Years ago, my wife and I went to Hawaii. Where'd you get the money for that? Out of the Acapulco fund that we have at the church. But this was years ago, and we went to Hawaii, and so we're leaving from Portage, Michigan, and there's an ice storm coming. And so we're watching it as we're traveling to Chicago to catch our plane to go to L.A. to go to Hawaii. And as we're driving, Linda's looking at the map on the phone, and it's almost here. It's catching up on us, and we just made it to the hotel room. We flew out the next morning. We just made it, and the ice storm hit. So we're thinking, are we ever going to get out of here? You know, will we be able to get a flight out? Well, we woke up the next day. It was pretty bad, but they took us to the airport, the shuttle from the hotel. Got to the airport. Long lines everywhere. Our flight was delayed in Chicago. And so as we're flying to L.A., we're watching, you know, the time. And we get to L.A., and there's no way we're going to get our connecting flight. So they put us on another flight, and that took us to Hawaii. But we were going to get a connecting flight to Kauai, right? Am I doing okay so far? Yeah? It's my story, right? Yeah. And so we were going to do that, but we missed that flight because of all the delays. So they gave us a voucher for a hotel room. We stayed there. We got it the next day. And we finally made it to our destination. Finally. Finally home. And somebody picked us up at the airport. They took us to a house right on the beach. Right on the beach. We stayed there for 2 weeks. It was free to us. That was paid for by somebody else. We had a chef prepare us meals every day, right? I know you don't believe me, but you can believe my wife, amen? This chef prepared us meals every day for 2 weeks. I mean, that was a far cry from trying to outrun an ice storm, amen? And boy, it was just a relief. That's a little taste of what it's going to be like. I want to read another verse. This is John chapter 16. You don't have to turn there. But in John chapter 16, verse 21, I'll find it. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow. She's having a baby because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. So we have a bunch of ladies here that have had children, your moms, and it's not an easy thing to have a baby. I think you think it is, but or you don't think it is, but some people really go through a trial in having a baby. But after you have the baby, that sorrow is all washed away because now you have this little baby to hold. Amen? And it changes the whole picture. This is a tough life. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What's the next? I have overcome the world. And so we have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 21, this is almost the end of your Bible. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I think that's a great, great blessing. That's what is ahead for us. There's another side to this, meeting God, and I just want to bring it out to show you what we are saved from. In the book of Amos, God is dealing with the nation of Israel, and he's dealing with them in verse 6 of chapter 4. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 8, same thing. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 9, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Verse 11 or 10 and verse 11 say the same thing. In verse 12 then it says, prepare to meet thy God. Some people will be ashamed at him when he comes. There's two judgments in the Bible. There's the judgment seat of Christ, and there's the great white throne judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is for all believers. And we are judged not whether we believe in Christ or not, but we're judged for our works, whether we have rewards to give to the Lord or whether we suffer loss. And the Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We come to, that is for believers. We come to Revelation chapter 20. That's the great white throne judgment. And that's where the lost are. And they will stand before God and they will face their eternal punishment. I believe that we as saved individuals will be conscious of that. We will see that judgment. We are not in that judgment. And then chapter 21 says, he'll wipe away all tears. We are never in danger of losing our salvation. Never. But that salvation is such a gift, we need to share it with everybody we can share it with. Because the white throne judgment is terrible. Tears are wiped away for us. And after this, Hebrews 11:16. We're strangers and pilgrims right now. As deep as your roots are in this world, we're strangers and pilgrims. Nobody is just going to stay here. We're going to face eternity and face the Lord. But it says, now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. For the Christian, heaven is where Jesus is. We do not need to speculate on what heaven will be like. It is enough to know that we will be with him forever. Barclay said that. Martin Luther said, I would not give one moment of heaven for all the joy and riches of the world, even if it lasted for thousands and thousands of years. C.S. Lewis, joy is the serious business of heaven. In that his presence is the fullness of joy. Lowry said, and though we don't know a great deal about heaven now, we can be sure its reality will exceed our wildest dreams. We will see the Lord and all the mysteries will be solved. Someday we're all going to die. As it is appointed unto men once to die. It's not popular to think about that. But the only way to prepare for eternity is to face that fact. Someday, we are all going to die. Our family, friends, neighbors, fellow church members, we're all going to die. Some younger, some older. Some natural, some of disease. But it's going to take place for all of us. Romans 8:22. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain and together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're waiting for that day because the life is difficult. I have a desire to depart. 1 Thessalonians tells us that, chapter 4. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, David's baby was very ill and eventually died. And David said this, "Now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again?" Who has not lost a loved one that you wish was still with you? The only reason we would trust and pray that they would go home soon to be with the Lord is because of their suffering. Amen? But we love those people and we want them with us. And so it says, "Shall I bring him back again?" And David said, "I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." David, the inspired scripture said, "I shall go to him." You know, sometimes we hear that, you know, I want to see Jesus first of all, and that's a good song, and it's probably true in many lives. I think about seeing my dad. I think about seeing my brother. I think about seeing my mother. Friends that I've had, loved ones, I think about seeing them. Amen? And people say, "Well, you won't even care." I think you will. I will go to him. I will be with him. And so we're going to see some loved ones. Now, if you've been married 7 times, whose wife will you be in the resurrection? Whose husband will you be in the resurrection? No one, because we are neither married or given in marriage once we get to heaven. We're going to love everybody. Amen? It's a family of God. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience for all of us. Remember the thief on the cross, Luke chapter 23, and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm going to take you to paradise." He got saved at the last minute, at the last second maybe. Amen? And there's a story in the Bible so that we can never give up hope. And I mentioned before, I've led people to the Lord on a hospital bed, and an hour later they were gone. All they could do was squeeze my hand for yes or no. They couldn't even speak, but they accepted Christ. That's a lot to rejoice in. There's one story in the Bible so that we don't get discouraged, but there's only one story in the Bible so we don't presume that everybody has a chance at the very end. Some lives are taken just like that. Some people never have a chance to make a decision after that. And so it's so important to know where you're going to spend eternity. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? I think it would be important to say this too. I quoted this at the end of my sermon last week. The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. It's only good news if it gets there in time. We all have friends, loved ones, neighbors, fellow workers. They need the gospel. Amen. They need to hear the gospel. But you that have heard it, and you know where you're going to spend eternity, rejoice today. Amen? Thank God today. That's the greatest gift that ever can be given. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the greatest gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. There's no way to describe it. And if you receive Christ as your Savior, you have that gift. And God's not an Indian giver. Amen? He will never take it back. That is yours for all eternity. Thank God for that. That ought to make us love him more, feel more secure, and serve him to the best of our ability. One salvation story after another in the Bible, and the pictures of them, one hymn after another. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind, heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Oh, it's hard to lose a loved one to the grave, but we have the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God's going to wipe all the tears from our eyes when we meet him in that land beyond the skies. That's ahead for us. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Where would you spend eternity? well, I'm as good as the next guy. That's not how the Bible says you have a home in heaven. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're all sinners. We all need that Savior. And He's only a prayer away. Pray this prayer with me silently if you want your sins forgiven and a home in heaven. Say something like this. Don't say it out loud. God will hear the prayer of your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. Please forgive me. Wash my sins away. Be my Savior and give me a home in heaven when I die. And I trust you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we love you. We appreciate the promises in your word that we can trust. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to every heart even as we leave this place today. May you be glorified by those who are saved, and may you be received by those who are lost today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.